May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 383. Wherewith shall we approach the Lord and bow before his throne? By trusting in his faithful word and pleading Christ alone. 383.
Let us read together from the Word of God. In the 50th chapter, the prophecy of Isaiah. We also read from Romans chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 50. Romans, a part of chapter 8. Thus saith the Lord. Where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh, because there is no water. And dieth for thirst, I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. We turn to Romans chapter 8. We read the first 14 verses. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, which is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, but not to the flesh. To live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye throw the Spirit to mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We leave the reading of God's word there. Amen. O Lord, in thy mercy, make us right as we begin to approach unto thee with prayer and words. We desire, Lord, that thy Spirit may indite our poor prayers with life and the faith of God's elect. Lord, that thou wilt help us to come and seek, Lord, for something above this poor world and ourselves. Something, Lord, that thou only canst grant, sweet union with the Lamb, thy mercy through blood, to cleanse away our sin and unworthiness, and in a moment, as it were, to bring us humbly before thee with that justifying righteousness, and that favour of God to believe, and that sweet setting down on the finished work of Christ, and to feel the ground good, and to be right before thee. We do desire, Lord, that thou gather us around thy word, or may it not be a closed book. May it be pleasing thee, Lord, to show thyself through the letters. We read much of Christ, the altogether lovely, chiefest among 10,000, but we need him revealed in his words and his truth by the power of God to be known in our poor sinful heart. We desire, Lord, to come and seek that thou wilt be with us. Lord, leave us not to come alone, but rather do grant us the sweet convoy of thy love and mercy, that our hearts may burn, our souls may be quickened, grace may be imparted, and Lord, we may be found among thy people. And do grant us, Lord, that help to seek, thou hear the prayers that have been lifted up. We think of the past service on thy day, unknown to us, but prayer no doubt offered, lifted up, and again we reminded the hour of prayer. Lord, we are brought again to call upon thee at this time, and one to speak for others. May the Lord look down upon us. personally, and especially the nation and the churches. May the Lord in mercy remember us still. May the Lord graciously work, and who shall let it? The proudest and the most hardened wretch must give way. May it please thee, Lord, to grant that our land may be restored. We pray according to thy holy will, and seek for a better day. Seek, Lord, for a knowledge of the Lord in high places. Many prayers have been offered up in our heart that went with them indeed. Lord, do grant answers of peace. There may be a quickening in our nation, a turning away from the God of mammon and wickedness. Do grant, Lord, that thou return and remember us as we seek for that blessing of God to be upon us, all events at thy command, may they be working together for good. Hear us, Lord, thou knowest our desire, that the Lord may graciously remember us in our land. Lord, wicked and full of sodomy as it is, yet there is a remnant. We've sung of them last evening, we believe. And Lord, our desire is that the Lord may appear, and that thou wilt remember us, Lord, as we seek, that thou wilt overrule and grant those who are in high places, and our sovereign too, we know much of the Saviour. We desire to confess our own sin and unworthiness. Lord, we do feel the plague and seek mercy. Not with many words, Lord, we need thee to cleanse us thoroughly. We need thee to put us right before thee and grant that robe of righteousness, sweet covering, the perfection, the atonement and the righteousness thereby. And grant, Lord, this evening hour there may be a time of blessing, may gospel blessing spread around like a sweet refreshing shower. We do pray for our aged friend and seek, Lord, that thou be round about her. We do bring her unto thee. We do pray, Lord, that thou break through and do grant a sweet knowledge that to each of us, and a friend especially, we have been with Jesus. We do pray, Lord, that thou bless this house of prayer and the causes represented especially. We pray for that continual blessing of God upon the word and the... We do pray, Lord, that thou hear us for that gracious help to watch over and to keep us well. We would seek, Lord, that wisdom and grace. We not be careless. We seek, Lord, that thou would remember those perhaps that are sorely troubled in their hearts or circumstances. May the Lord draw near. There are any unable to be here that whose hearts are up to thee. We do seek, Lord, for the children, that thou wilt bless them indeed. We do desire, Lord, that the burdens of our heart might be known to thee with deliverances, that we long for it. We desire, Lord, that thou wilt come, take the veil away, breathe the living word. Help us, Lord, to acknowledge thee in all our ways. To bless thee, Lord, that we are brought hitherto. And do grant the convoy of thy love in life's journey. And we do pray, Lord, for any that may feel left out. Lord, that may have that need that is spread before thee with many, many thoughts. Does the Lord know about it? Oh, do come. Grant thy sweet grace, all sufficient. We pray that thou forgive our sin and unworthiness. We don't want to be left to sparks or form. We do pray that thou grant us thy sweet spirit. May we know the outpouring of thy spirit, and our hearts may be drawn heavenward. The Lord will be with us poor sinners, and grant a little sweet touch of thy love for all in afflictions. Do grant, O Lord, that we may be able now to bless thee. We think of it, desiring to thank thee, and in our thankfulness to know that sweet compunction, life, and sweet knowledge that it is the Lord. May we ask then boldly, seek for mercy, remember us still, undertake for us, help us through this service. Be with us in the singing of thy worthy praises. Grant, O Lord, some sweet tokens, and to remember any that wait upon thee. We ask that thou come over our shortcomings and our sin and unworthiness. May we know the precious blood of Jesus and the sprinkling of it. And that will be all sufficient. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1019. O that my load of sin were gone, O that I could at last submit at Jesus' feet to lay it down, to lay my soul at Jesus' feet. 1019.
much dependence on the help of God. We'll direct you to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8. We will read the first three verses, especially verse 2. Romans chapter 8, first three verses, especially verse 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. It does seem that there are some very great heights and much assurance in these verses, and I desire to come not because we are able to walk continually on those high places, but being led by the Spirit. These words, especially in verse 2, have continually over my mind. We have to seek the Lord to grant us that liberty of the Spirit. It does strike me that some may say that perhaps it would have been more suitable to their feelings if we had spoken perhaps from those words, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness, and hath no light, but in trust in the name of the Lord upon his God." Well, friends, we have in these verses the ground of a God-given trust. We have the gospel and the truth of it. It needs the Lord to open it and to apply it and to direct our hearts into it. No, there are those places that may especially suit our feelings. We do sometimes think we need to be preserved from wanting a text that suits our own selves, but we desire that there might be the application, but also deliverance from lowness and down-sitting. We would seek for such an increase. Very often we walk in darkness and seem to be much in need. And we have in these words a little of the truth of the gospel to those that do walk in darkness, have no light. What should they do? Have in the words of our text a little of that sweet truth of the gospel in the law of the wise. Those that are perhaps much in need of wisdom to direct their way and strength to do his will. Or those that may be severely stumbled because of their sin and guilt, and how these things are known, aren't they, in living hearts. Well, this word here speaks of what the Lord is to living hearts, and how he does indeed reveal himself to hearts renewed and blessed of God, as only God can bless poor sinners. Again, my thoughts in the sweet excellence of the words here that Paul speaks of as he has walked in the truth, especially in the preceding chapter, of wretchedness. The wretched man, he says, that I am, not was. True enough. Who shall deliver me from the body, this death? Well, friends, soon the Lord sweetly enables him to look right up and grants him a little of this sweet law of the wise and the truth of it to a troubled heart. The wretched man that I am. He comes to the words here that really lead us into the chapter 8. I thank God through Jesus Christ, only through him. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, or are left thus to seek to do. But with the flesh, the law of sin, since there is then a vital need to speak to the encouragement of those that may fear they cannot reach the high notes of experience or be able to say the Lord is mine, or need the Lord to grant them some sweet access into the truth as it is in Jesus. Where and what shall we do but send them only unto the Lord himself? That's where the apostles come into. The sweet encouragement of this church here, Gentile church, to those that love the truth, and did perceive that God was with this dear man, preeminent in grace and gifts. Friends, he had been with Jesus. That's why he could preach. That's why he speaks of these things by experience. Although his heart was wretched and undone and felt to be very poor, he wasn't without the Spirit of God. Now he says here, there is therefore now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus. Some may say, ah, but I cannot attain to such a height as that. Well, I desire the Lord may lead me and direct me to the words that are before us, as we may have a little glimpse of that law that is spoken of here, not the law of Moses, not Sinai, that condemns. That law was given, never intended to save, but magnify the offence. So the living, they say, a wretched man that I am, but they want the Lord to grant them life and a sweet knowledge of how it can be and how the Lord can look upon them, how the Lord can remember them. You know, it's not enough, is it, for a man to come and speak only by way of consolation that they know their wretchedness, know what sin is. And God forbid that any should say, ah, that is my salvation. Friends, we do need the Lord to direct us, as it were, to the fountain of his goodness, the truth as it is in Jesus. No, it's by this law. Much sweet truth about it. Not the law of Moses. It is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's what attracts me, or is upon my mind, friends, to speak a little of this sweet truth. It is the most sacred law, isn't it, of God, as we may be able to speak of the grace of God, the word of the Lord with that sweet power and savour, and that truth of it as it flows downward, as it is made known in the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace to meet the needs that prevail, especially in the soul of those that live that feel to need the Lord. Well, we do no despite to any. We would not for a moment think that we are anything at all. But it does seem to me, friends, that there's something in these verses that speak of the sweet excellence of Christ revealed, of the Spirit of God revealing both the plague of sin, but more that deliverance, and the sweet truth of it in a poor guilty sinner's heart. Now, it's so in life, isn't it? Very often men go to law, perhaps especially in the days in which we live. Or how men haste to litigation and so on. But you know, I want to speak, the Lord may direct me, the Lord may lead his people and take them to the law. But not the law that is spoken of here, what it cannot do, but how it is revealed in the very person of the Lord Jesus. That's the law, isn't it? The law of his grace. The law that is for poor sinners, not to condemn them, but to deliver them, to meet their needs with a sweet view of the King and his beauty. It's spoken of here as the apostle is able to look, as we say, into the law of the wise, into the gospel. We've tried to make it clear it's by revelation, with the teaching of Spirit, but not the dear man says. As many as are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. It is only as much as the Lord sends this law effectually to redeem his people with power and authority from a guilty law. It is the law of his grace. I don't want to be beyond myself, but this is how it seems to come to me. And I said to my dear one, I want you to look up a hymn. And it's in that hymn 523, the law of the Spirit of life. And that's it, friends. Not death. That takes the old yoke from our neck. Proves Zion to be the Lamb's wife. That's a good law, isn't it? And Zion with beauty does deck. Provides, 523, provides her a clothing divine. And may her all glorious within, nor angels are clothed more fine, nor can it be sullied with sin. There's something very sweet about it. And in a law that is enforced, it is brought not to condemn, but to bless. The gospel is the law of the Lamb, isn't it? Now, The truth of it is this. It is a law that is from the highest court, from above, and it is revealed in the way in which God has revealed his love and mercy in covenant and truth. Let me direct you to the wondrous doctrines of grace. Men deride and hate, but it's the law of his grace, isn't it? Predestination. Election. The truth of it regarding God and his people. A seed that shall be blessed. Those that shall come under the blessed truth, sound of it by God's Spirit. And granted life. And that's where I want to come. This law, the Spirit of life. I want to notice it. Firstly, experimentally, the Spirit's blessed work of regeneration. And the Lord knoweth them that are his. It's a vital thing, friends, to have a real beginning, not to rest short on upbringing, sparks of our own kindling, a form without the power, knowing the plague only, being content with the husky part, being left short because we are short by nature, and to be content with a dying state. Something like this. We can do nothing of ourselves, and that's the end of it. If God only can bless us, but no life in seeking hard. As the Spirit of God moves the hearts of his people, it breaks the snare of fatalism. I'm sure of it. For sinners are not left then to fatalism, are they? With a need of Christ. The word of his grace, and to seek to, let me put it in another way, the Spirit of the Lord, the law of the Spirit of life, that brings poor sinners into God's house. It wouldn't darken it at one time. But it's the law of the Spirit of life. Now, it's in Christ Jesus. Let me be ever so clear about it. It's not some sudden rectification of the Spirit or having some communication from a preacher. Friends, it's regenerating grace. And it's like a law which accomplishes, enforces what and how it is given to renew. That soul shall be mine. Behold, he prays, turning aside, perhaps speaking to those that are quickened by God's grace. They cannot say, well, what a renewed sinner I am. Oh, it's the plague. It's the darkness, as we have read. It's the trouble. It's the need. It's the working of God's sweet Spirit in the law of the gospel. Nothing short, friends. It's not because man is anything, can be anything, can merit anything, or obtain anything in and of himself. It's exactly as God in his mercy grants the blessed Spirit of truth and life. Spoken of here in this most sacred way. For the law, he says, of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And it directs us to him that is the life of poor sinners and the life of those that seek him. Those that are drawn to the light as we have it in naturally. So draw into the light, isn't there? Even the plants of the earth, so much more. I believe when God quickens into life, there's that searching for the truth, that desire for the light, the knowledge of it, and the increase, or the object of their heart's desire. Or some may say that it is that to be preached, and man will surely see the wisdom of it. No, friend, he's got no wisdom. He's at enmity, even with the spirit of truth left for a moment. Rebellious thou hast been. This law, the law of life, is that which brings that true knowledge of need and the desire for deliverance, forgiveness, acceptance with God, or even to be taught as the Lord's people are taught. Or to feel to be so ignorant. Wonder if they'll ever be found amongst the Lord's people. Oh, it's this law of the Spirit of life. I want to notice it in God's regenerating grace. The way in which he moves a poor sinner toward his God, humbly, not proudly, in humility, and with a who can tell, desiring mercy. And perhaps it takes a long time till we come to that place where it's mercy we need. Well, I'm sure of it. And that mercy is in this sweet law of the Spirit of life. That is, the Lord will grant it. Mercy is mercy. And it's in the Lamb of God for sinners slain. Many sweet hymns about it. For guilt and sin. It is that law that condemns the sin, that condemns God's people. And that is a very sacred depth, isn't it? But it is to remove it, take away its claim, annul that claim of justice, and to bring a poor sinner humbly upon the merits of the Saviour. That's the sweet work of the Spirit, isn't it? So that there is a newness of life. And let's be clear, it's in Christ Jesus, appointed Son, before man fell. The very fountain of life. The very author of it. So the Lord's people are brought to the fountainhead. It's give me Christ, or else I die. It's not give me my perfection and then the Lord can look upon me. Souls are hunted out of that. And they wonder that the law condemns, that is the law of Moses. And thus it was appointed to. And in God's hand, wonderfully so, it brings a soul in guilty. And that's when we're in our right place. Feeling. And to cry unto God under a felt sense of need, and to cry out because of sin and unbelief, and the sin that does so easily beset us. Friends, it needs a remedy, doesn't it? And where is it? In the law, but not the law of Moses. But one of the first texts I preached on, or tried to preach on, was this, for what the law could not do. We're still learning what that means. By nature we flee to the law. Man does. He's not so bad in his own eyes. He is solemnly deceived. The word of God speaks solemnly about it. And to live our lives like that, to be in a deceit and think all is well when And the law condemns, and there's no understanding of it. It's only the law of the wise that can deliver from it. The Lord grants it. Until that cry is, woe is me, for I am undone. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And again, it does seem to spring up just a little. The apostle is able to dwell upon it in the Spirit. He's in the Spirit. And that is how we think of these words. There is therefore now no condemnation. Looking unto Jesus. But he's wretched and undone. And he says that by the truth and the light and the rule, the law of the gospel, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Now that's another mark of life. It's not going two ways at once, if it could be so, but it is seeking him, isn't it? And there are different ways to speak of it. Some may say, well, not for us to show that we are called by grace. It's a private matter. It is our wisdom to bury our thoughts and not to say anything at all. Be careful. It's not in the law of the Spirit of life. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. The Lord hearkened and heard. Now, we do need to be delivered from any vain and awfully presumptuous manner of thought and witness, but I do believe it is right to speak of those that have to make their way to God's house. Perhaps there's something that needs doing. Their hearts are moved to humbly seek for grace to honour the Lord, although putting no merit upon it. In the 6th chapter of Hebrews, we read of it in this way: for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labour of love. That's a very fine line, isn't it? But let's be clear about it, friends. God moves his people, or they're still dead. He moves them by regenerating grace toward him, to his ways and truth. And it brings me to another aspect. I don't know whether it applies to any, but there is a time when God moves his people by his love. They wait upon him, seeking to know and to do his will. It needs an upright heart. I've said it many times. But there is a time when God strangely moves his people. And why? How is it so? By his law of love. And it moves poor sinners to seek to know, do his will. And it's a sweet law, because it has its authority, its ground, it's all is in the Lord himself. So strangely hearts are moved, and there is a sweet understanding of the need of the Lord to go before his people and to be given a word, some sweet application. No, it's in the law. Some may say, what do you mean? The law of his grace. And the truth of it, There's a word we read of in the scriptures. None of these things move me. It's a very solemn word if we look at it in a different sense. No, to be amongst those that are moved by the Spirit and know what Israel ought to do. No, it is something I must be very careful about. But this life is that which touches the heart, friends, and overcomes the resistance, the rebellion even, or the fear. What will they think of me? The Lord sends his law of love and mercy, and it flows over those great objections. There's a sweet hymn about it, if I remember. It's God a command to fulfill, if I remember. Which nature untoward would shun, love, which is this law of his grace, brings to compliance the will and causes the deed to be done from Jesus. Oh, I take my ground there, friend. From Jesus the blessing must flow to creatures beneath and above. May he, his good Spirit bestow. And we should do all things in love. I don't know, perhaps it's a word in season. And it's a little of this sweet increase of the law of the Spirit of life. And God's people know what the law of Moses is, and the hopelessness and the labouring under it, like the children of Israel, into the Egyptian bondage. Some may say, well, I don't know whether my calling has got a right knowledge of the law, or do you know bondage? You know what it is to labour? Could I but believe? You know what it is to feel to be undone because of unbelief? What little thing is it? How it sorely tries a living soul. They're great. Perhaps it's the accursed sin, isn't it? Unbelief. It wasn't any trouble, but now it is sorely a trouble. And God appoints this law of life to meet those characters that labour deeply in bondage and sin and corruption, feeling to be no better at all, but rather growing worse. What's it need? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, it's when he preaches that into the heart, sweetly brings it like a law from the highest court, which is full of love and mercy. If I speak rightly, friends, it's a little, isn't it, of the Lord's loving kindness to poor sinners that are so undeserving. And it is not to condemn, but it is to condemn sin. What a mercy. The sins that afflict God's people shall be judged. The Lord will not leave his people under the bondage and corruption of sin and the feeling of being utterly lost, but he will lift them up. He knows where they are. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's sweet doctrine, isn't it? In the very person of Christ, and the way in which the Lord grants it is by the blessed Spirit of truth. And that is how the man rests, as it were, perhaps in his old age, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free, he says. And some may say, but That's where I still feel to labour. I still feel to be in bondage. I still feel to have such fetters and such trouble. Friends, the Lord speaks of something very precious, not dwelling in the creature to get better. Something, the day will come when I'll be utterly free from sin and the knowledge of it, and be found amongst God's people. And until then, they go in the solemn way of unconcern. It's most solemn. The law of God is that which both convinces of sin, but most blessedly meets that sinner in his need. And it's contained in the doctrines of his grace, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I want to just look at that for a moment. Life in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to you and me this evening? Nowhere else. Certainly doesn't dwell in the creature. Certainly doesn't dwell in man, whoever he is. But it certainly dwells in Christ. It was appointed there too from all eternity that God should dwell with man. It needs a mediator. It needs one that fits to waft salvation down to men, his traitors and his foes. It needs one gloriously appointed, set apart and made known for this great and blessed salvation unto the uttermost. It dwells only, completely, fully in the Lord Jesus. What do we know of it? I mean, does it seem to be the object of our desire? Now, some may say, well, these are great doctrines and I'm only a poor sinner. How can I know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Well, the Lord, friends, delivers from this spirit of perverse unbelief, or looking to the creature, or to be going back to the law of Moses, which it is, to get better. But it needs the Lord to convince, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Of a precious Christ. And to show and reveal in him all a guilty soul can need. Nothing short of that. It is the sweet merits of Christ for sin, and that is by his death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is by the death of Christ. And it is by his death upon Calvary. The just for the unjust. For this glorious man in the sinner's place, in all his sweet perfections and his sweet obedience and his merits that prevail until the Lord that has turned his face from sinners and can by no means be reconciled, looks upon his Son and the offering so complete by the shedding of blood and the truth of it being in that word, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, the merits of his blood. It is through his death and the shedding of blood. I said to the little ones, younger ones, to find the text where it says, not without blood. And they sometimes give me these little answers. And I seek that God may bless them. Not without blood. We want a religion like that. want a hope like that. You want to die upon such truths. As God may be pleased, have mercy upon us, not without blood. Then it is contained in this spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I want to notice it as the Spirit is revealed in it. The Spirit of life. So that I believe it directs us to the Blessed Trinity and the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It is the Spirit's revealing and gracious appointing of it. And I believe that the Spirit of God, in the wondrous truth of the gospel, prepared a body in all its sweet excellence, a body to suffer, so that there is an offering that is so wonderfully made known, and the Spirit of God sweetly, it is the sum of it. Let me direct you to our text, for the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Oh, he is that living one, so wonderfully appointed for dead sinners, that they might live. Because I live, ye shall live also. Now the blessed Spirit descended upon him. A bodily form like that dove, and it was sweetly made known that he was thus that anointed one, so wonderfully revealed that we need it experimentally. And I want to come a little further quickly. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that, now what does it speak of? It has made me free from the law of sin and death. And again, if we move away from the experimental truth of it, we may become very legal indeed. Now it is thus the Lord's people do need such a law and such grace to make them free, to open the prison house, and to grant them access, like dear Peter to the brethren, when the Lord led him out and the iron gate opened of its own accord. And it is this liberty that is spoken of here. The Lord grants it. Sinner's heart, we long to see it. This sweet liberty. Loose him and let him go. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Oh, it is that sweet excellence of him that is the very Spirit of life, and it dwells in him to an ocean fullness, and it is the way to God, as we sing in the hymn. Oh, to know it, and we long to see those brought into liberty. It doesn't mean, friends, that they'll always be at liberty, and there won't be any clouds, knowledge of sin. It doesn't mean that, but it is that sweet view of him, isn't it? I know in whom I have believed and persuaded, he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Is there a day before some of you? I don't know. What a sweet word that is. Looking into the sweet law of liberty. I'm not ashamed. Sweet hymn, isn't there, about it? We know it very well. The Lord grants it might be applied and springing up in a poor sinner's heart. Jesus, and shall it ever be? Mortal man, ashamed of thee. And soon leave it. ashamed of thee, whom angels praise, whose glories shine to endless days. I once heard somebody condemning this hymn, and it stirred my spirit. I wouldn't sing it. Oh, ashamed of Jesus, soon afar. Evening blush to own a star. He sheds his beams of light divine o'er this benighted soul of mine. Who can tell the Lord might grant the increase of that liberty in walking in his ways and being enabled to follow on to know the Lord. I speak very carefully. I want to come lastly to the words here, what the dear man is saying. It's made me free from the law of sin and death, to take away the bondage and grant a sweet hope in Christ Jesus, and to grant that safe ground in passing over Jordan, and to grant that liberty to be able to say, hinder me not, I must go with you. For what the Lord could not do, that it was weak for the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. There's much sweet truth that we haven't time nor intention to speak very much of it. That the righteousness of the law. Now that is that righteousness of that holy condemning law. The very truth of the righteousness against sin is that which is spoken of as being honoured, the Lord giving honour to that law by his death upon Calvary, his suffering so intense. Angels have no perfect sin. He cried, it is finished. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. It's walking, isn't it, in his ways and his truth. Perhaps having to own in whom you have believed even before the world, and to seek grace to be amongst those that are despised and rejected for his dear name. There is a family on earth whose father fills the throne, and a seed of heavenly birth to men they're little known. Oh, to be amongst those friends that are upheld, granted that increase of this law of forgiveness, law of his mercy, his favour, the blessed Spirit to convey and to reveal sweet truth as it is in Jesus, in his word, to take of it and put it to our account, and to grant us a sweet interest in the finished work of Jesus, and to know more of him. I'm very conscious we must leave it early, but perhaps there might be some sweetness. Grant, the Lord grant his forgiveness, all spoken this. Amen. Thank you.
willing, Mr. Chapman is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. John Rosier next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 957. Why sinks my weak, desponding mind? Why heaves my heart the anxious sigh? Can sovereign goodness be unkind? Am I not safe, since God is nigh? 957.
to bless the sweet lines in the hymn. Be with us as we part, watch between us, keep us in sweet union. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the communion and teaching of the blessed Spirit be with us each. Amen.